foot in front of the other.
Welcome back, Monday to Friday, 2:30 to 4 here on AM 1450 KATE. It is The Blitz. Mitch Whitmire here with you. We jump to the phone lines. He hops on once a week. We always love having him on. We're thankful for his time. Jim Suhan of the Star Tribune with us. Find his podcast network at MNSPN.com. This segment, as always, is brought to you by Greenlee Golf Course. Talking Wolves, Vikings today, Jim. We'll go in that order because I caught your article in the Star Tribune about the Wolves and the body language, and it's something that you and I have talked about a couple of times that I brought up to you, the fact that some of the younger guys seem concerned about making any little mistake, and none of them, well, maybe not none, most of them seem as though they're tight and they're not maybe having too much fun during the games. For those who didn't catch your article, what did you notice the other night covering the game against Portland?
Well, you know, I'm a traditional mainstream sports columnist, so usually I go places, you know, I flesh out ideas, I cover things, I come to a conclusion. You know, I'm an opinion writer, that's what I do. I just thought I would take a different approach. So I covered a Wolves game on a night when I wasn't on deadline, and instead of kind of going through the normal motions, I decided I'm just going to observe everything I can about how these people interact, what the body language is like, what the game is like, what the atmosphere is like around the team. And I decided to just kind of lay it out there and not really necessarily form a conclusion, just kind of give people a good picture of what's going on both, you know, on the court and behind the scenes. And what I observed when I was really just bearing down on body language, Tibbs, the way people interact and all that, is that, listen, there are a lot of good things going on here. They're fourth seed. That's a great thing. The record's pretty good. The offense statistically is doing pretty well. But, you know, and I wouldn't even say that the young players are playing tight. I think when you observe them really closely, it's more that Towns and Wiggins just aren't even necessarily listening to what people are telling them about the way they need to play defense. And they'll have spurts, but they're not playing in. Butler says it, Thibodeau says it, you know, people I know around the team say it. It's just that they're such immensely talented young guys. They've had so much success. That, you know, Wiggins has already got a max deal. Towns is on his way to a max deal no matter what he does defensively. There just doesn't feel like there's that, I hate the word urgency, it's so overused in sports, but there isn't that intensity on the defensive end that you're going to have to be a really good team going forward against a tougher part of the schedule in the playoffs, you know, next year, et cetera. So there are a lot of good things going on, but, man, when you watch them interact, when you watch Tibbs, the way he reacts to them, the way he talks to them, you just see that there's still something missing.
I found it interesting yet not surprising hearing Jimmy Butler referring to Towns and Wiggins, and I might just be slightly paraphrasing, but he said something, Jim, to the tune of, they can be as good as they want, but they have to learn how to bring it every single night. Did you interpret that just exactly for what it was worth and exactly how Jimmy Butler worded it, that they truly can be as good as they want, but they have to learn how to bring it every single night?
No doubt, and he said it very bluntly. He said it in a group setting when I'm standing there. I followed up with a question. And he said it. He also said it about four different ways. That was just the way I happened to quote him. He said it. He rephrased himself about three or four times during the interview, saying, "Hey, you know, these guys are great young talents. If they play defense, if they bring it every night, if they bring it every play." Because he was talking about also how, you know, he felt he scored 37 points. And he felt like the game was really determined by the intensity on the defensive end. The fact that Wiggins finally made a couple plays on the defensive end down the stretch. The fact that he and Crawford really pushed it defensively. And he called it getting lost in the game when he take every possession, including the defensive possessions, really seriously. Good things happen. You get into a flow of the game. You end up playing better offensively. And he's just like, these guys don't get that yet.
I don't mean to be like too harsh here, but can you try to point your finger at what exactly it is with those two in the defense? Because it's brought up a lot. Is it them being lackadaisical? Is it taking breaks on defense at times? I just don't get how I can watch the Knicks, Jim, and Kristaps Porzingis brings it on defense just like offense, and it hasn't been questioned once. Same with Joel Embiid in Philly. And if anything, those markets, Philadelphia, New York City, you're under the spotlight, and they'll chew you up and they'll spit you back out. And there have been very little questions about Joel Embiid's defense because he brings it just about every night. Same thing with Kristaps Porzingis. And so when I watch Philly and I watch the New York Knicks, I'm looking at Karl-Anthony Towns thinking, man, he can be that same presence that Porzingis is with the Knicks and Embiid is in Philly if he wants to be.
Yeah, well, I think it's two different things. I think Wiggins just floats. It's just in his personality. He's got incredible physical gifts. He can get to the rim anytime he wants. He can get a shot anytime he wants. And we see it in rebounding. We see it in defense. He will just take possessions off. He'll take nights off. And there are no great players in the history of the NBA who had that attitude. You know, it's great physically, as Jordan and Bird and Magic and all these other players were. They also played really hard, and they worked like crazy in the offseason. And I think Wiggins puts in the work behind the scenes. He just is not built. It's just not his nature to be an intense guy. And the question is, can that change? With Towns, I think it's a little more Towns. You know, Towns is a little more of a diva, and he likes saying, "Hey, we did it this way. Kentucky, we had success." He just doesn't get the difference between college and the NBA. He doesn't get, and he also is very capable of getting four block shots in a night and thinking that that means he played good defense. One thing talking to some real basketball experts around the town, they kind of compare Reggie Lynch and Karl Anthony Towns on the defensive end because they're both very capable of blocking shots, and they're also very capable of giving up a bunch of plays because they aren't really good defenders. They're guys who are so athletic, so good at blocking shots that they can have the block shots cover up the mistakes they make in just playing basic fundamental defense.
Always love having him on the program. Jim Suhan of the Star Tribune is our guest this afternoon. Find his podcast network at mnspn.com. As always, this segment is brought to you by Greenlee Golf Course. It is still a little odd. I think we've referenced this a couple of times in past conversations. This team is 18-13 right now, Jim Suhan. They're fourth in the West. But if you just glazed across Twitter, and I get the same sense with Richard Pitino's Minnesota Golden Gophers basketball team, if you just glazed across Twitter and guessed the record of the Wolves or of the Gophers men's team, I would assume both are in some sort of free fall situation, right?
I know, it's very true. So I agree with both sides on this. I hate to agree with both sides, but I agree on both sides. If you want to say, hey, these are good teams, they have promising futures, they're building not only toward could be a very interesting end-of-season scenario. They're also building programs that could really have staying power. Absolutely true. And if you say, boy, the Gophers aren't playing any defense, they have really lapsed here, they have no bench, they have some problems that will rise up and hurt them in the Big Ten schedule, I'd say that's also true. With the Wolves, you can celebrate what they've done so far and the fact that they're going to have their first winning season since I was born. And that's absolutely true. Or you can say the defense just falls apart at times. They don't always listen to Thibodeau. They lack depth. It really hurts them. They're getting nothing out of Shabazz Muhammad. They're probably not playing the guys on the bench who are playing well enough minutes. That's all true, too. These are both incredibly mixed bags right now.
How reassuring was the win against Portland? Because, I mean, I'll raise my hand and admit it. The last couple of minutes, I'm sitting there watching Jim, and my thoughts were like, here we go, they're going to lose another heartbreak or another close game, but in this instance, they found a way.
I think it was a big victory, mainly because if they had lost, it would have been, it's like winning one game doesn't get you anywhere necessarily, but I think a loss would have been pretty devastating. If they come off that five-game, fairly easy homestand with three losses that they should have won, think about this, Butler was critical of Wiggins and Towns after a victory. What would he have said if he scores 37 points with a bad back, does everything he can to will a team to victory, and lacks defense on the other end, costs them? He might have lit into him. Crawford had complained about his minutes, and you know what happens if he doesn't get enough minutes or doesn't score enough to help them win? I think there's a little bit of a powder keg there, and winning kind of kept the fuse from being lit.
You can find his work in the Star Tribune. The podcast network can be located at mnspn.com. Jim Suhan, kind enough to take time out of his day and hop on the program. It's brought to you by Greenlee Golf Course. Let's transition to the purple and gold, to the Vikings. They clinched the NFC North on Sunday. Blowout win over the Bengals. When's the last time Jim Suhan watched an NFL game where a team had absolutely no interest in being there or showing up? I never, ever, ever question motivation or a team's want, but man, it seemed pretty evident that Cincinnati, the minds at least of those players, seemed to be anywhere else besides that game on Sunday against Minnesota.
The last time I can remember might have been, remember when the Panthers came and played at TCF Bank Stadium and it was like minus 85 and the Panthers had no interest in playing that game. That's the one that jumps out at me. There have also been a couple times when it looked like the Vikings were trying to get their coach fired. The bad loss against Green Bay that got Childress fired. You know, it does happen once in a while. So as bad as the Bengals were, as little as the Bengals wanted to play that game, that's where I will give the Vikings credit in that they didn't let anything unusual happen. There's an art, and a lot of it's coaching, a lot of it's veteran leadership. There's an art to not not letting down when you know the other team doesn't want to play. The Vikings could have played with low energy. They could have let that become a game. You know, Keenum's first deep pass could have been intercepted. That could have changed, just, you know, at least made it a more competitive game. They did what a good team would do. They blew them out. They bought time for Teddy Bridgewater to get in the game. They, you know, you can't be too impressed with beating a terrible team, but you can be impressed with the way they handled it, at least.
Let me throw this one your way. The question I asked you about, when's the last time you remember seeing a team that just didn't look interested, didn't want to show up? I asked the question yesterday on the show, and the most popular response that I got was Vikings fans referencing, if you remember, the Josh Freeman game, and they said the Vikings had no interest that night. Do you remember that game?
I disagree. I don't think that was a lack of effort. I think Josh Freeman was just that bad. and that's where I think sometimes fans confuse motivation or effort with results. If your quarterback's throwing the ball four rows into the stands, it doesn't matter how hard you run your route or how well you block or anything else. That was just a terrible night. But I don't think that team didn't want to play. I think they had their quarterback gave them no chance.
All right, so Sunday it was 17-0 at the end of the first quarter, which, I mean, that's not an impossible hole to dig out of. Yet you knew, I don't know, I just felt like 15 minutes in, Jim, that the game was over because of the Bengals' disinterest in being there. And given the Vikings' circumstances, you knew they couldn't mess around, and you kind of just alluded to it. They did a good job of keeping their foot on the accelerator, I would say, until early on in that second half when Mike Zimmer and company, they just tried to essentially run the clock out. But at that point, it was already 27-0, and I assume they were trying to just get out of there as quickly as possible with no more injuries. But I thought, like you said, the Vikings did a good job of staying engaged when they were going up against a team that just, again, disinterested would be the word I would use.
This is a really well-coached team. Zimmer has learned a lot as a head coach. They come up with really good game plans. You saw the Vikings defenders. It looked like they knew where the ball was going to go. You know, the Terrence Newman play, I think there was a Rhodes play. There's another Newman play where they jumped the route. There's one third down where the Bengals sent like four receivers on short routes, and each of the receivers, I don't think you see this on TV, but I could see it live, each of the receivers got jumped by a Viking defender who knew exactly what was coming. Zimmer's an excellent defensive coach. There are some other really good coaches on the assistant staff, including Andre Patterson and Kevin Stefanski. Shermer is an excellent offensive coach. They come up with creative game plans. They confuse opponents. This is a really well-coached team, and that's why with a backup quarterback and a backup running back, this might be, and probably should be at this point, the second team in franchise history to win 13 games.
We'll finish up with a couple of points. I'm wondering, I was not at the game. How cool was it seeing Teddy Bridgewater walk back onto the field? I'm assuming you were present for the game. Was it a goosebump-worthy moment?
You know, I'm old and jaded, so it takes a lot to make goosebumps rise in my skin. And I knew it was going to happen eventually, but it was an endearing moment. The fact that Bridgewater goes out there, that his teammates love him so much, that Case Keenum is on the sideline leading the cheers, and it was the perfect setting for Teddy to come back.
We'll wrap it up on this. Looking ahead, they have Brett Hundley and Mitchell Trubisky to finish out the year. I look at that. I know it's in Green Bay. It's a Saturday night, but the Packers have been eliminated, so we'll see how they come out and look. The Bears have long been eliminated. No idea what their coaching situation is going forward, but they're still starting the rookie Mitchell Trubisky, rightfully so. But they do have Hundley, Trubisky, and I look at that, Jim, and I think I know it's two NFC North rivals, but there is no reason the Vikings shouldn't win both and at worst have the two seed heading into the postseason. Is that what you're seeing as well?
Exactly, and I also think it's important for them to have the two seed, and I also think it's important for them to play well in these games because, here's the interesting thing, and here's a negative with Rodgers not playing. They're going to end up playing three straight games against bad teams that really don't have much of a chance, and then they're going to have a bye week. They will not have faced a good opponent by the time we get to mid-January since the Atlanta game, and there's a little bit of danger in that. We all see how, you know, the NFL is really not necessarily about being dominant anymore. It's about getting hot and being healthy at the right time. And as great a season as it has been, and I expect it to be for the Vikings, I think there would be some justified paranoia if you hadn't played a good team in a month and a half when you're playing your first playoff game.
Find that Timberwolves article and much more of his work through the Star Tribune, the podcast network at MNSPN.com. Jim, as always, your time's appreciated.
Hey, thanks as always, Mitch.
We're going to put a bow on the show coming up next.